Given all that psychology, psychiatry, and neuroscience have contributed toward the subject of parenting in recent decades, where does that leave the Bible in the mix? Well, with all the self-proclaimed parenting experts writing books about how to raise kids, has Scripture taken a backseat to Dr. Spock, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, or even Oprah? Where and how does the Bible fit into the sea of information concerning the mental, the emotional, and spiritual health of our kids? Well, we'll dive into that and find out today on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, the proving ground of bringing a Christian worldview into the parenting arena. And Trace, the common approach that's made by so many professionals in the field of mental and emotional health these days is to place kids with emotional or behavioral challenges on medication first and will then perhaps pursue additional therapies. But what we're seeing here is kids getting healed as they get off medications, not as a result of being placed on them. And that's going on every day right here at Shepherd's Hill. And we see these kinds of things very regularly, don't we?
No, that's exactly right, Rich. But to clarify, no one here is saying that there isn't a place for medications. I mean, we believe there is. We just feel like they're grossly overprescribed. Both at Shepherd's Hill Academy and here on the Licensed to Parent broadcast, we're firm believers that, you know, given enough time, that the proper outside stimuli like God's Word, His love, truth, training, nurture, and discipline can, you know, in many cases, create chemical changes in the human brain without medications, and these chemical changes then manifest in positive behavioral, mental, and attitudinal changes.
Right.
You know, if I go behind you, Rich, and I go boo real loud in your ear, what's going to take place?
I'm going to hit you.
Yeah. After that, then there's adrenaline running in your veins and my veins if you're going to hit me. But that outside stimuli has caused a chemical reaction in the system. So we don't consider biochemistry and neuroscience as something to be divorced from the soul and the spirit of an individual. I personally believe that things like neuroscience and brain imaging may simply be empirical evidences, perhaps barometers, if you will, for what's really going on in the spiritual realm of an individual. But, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I'm anxious to hear just how nuts our guest thinks I really am. He is a doctor.
That's true. Our guest is Dr. Carl Benzio, or Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl has a BSc in biomedical engineering from Duke University, an MD from the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, and psychiatric training from the University of California, Irvine. He is the founder and director of the Lighthouse Network and Lighthouse Psychiatry, providing Christ-centered treatment, counsel, education, and consultation to individuals, churches, and organizations. Dr. Carl is the writer for the Stepping Stones Daily Devotional and has a wife and three daughters who all reside with him outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dr. Benzio, we are so glad to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Thanks a lot.
Well, Dr. Benzio, Stepping Stones Daily Devotional has been a blessing to me. I've overlooked it for about a year. I get a lot of emails come through here, and I just kind of passed it over as one of my many. But I started looking at it, and I got to tell you, every day for the last 6 months, I've been reading that. My utmost for his highest would be probably number one on my list, but I don't miss a day without reading yours. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You are a psychiatrist, but you're also a Christian. Tell me why so many folks, whether they're secular or Christian, see this as a dichotomy and maybe why they shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's really an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp or military intelligence, Christian psychiatrist, right?
Mm.
You know, we have this, and I think as Christians, a real difficult time of embracing science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but science is really the study of what God made.
Sure.
How he designed it to function, and how do we then maximally steward it for his glory?
Mm-hmm.
And this area of, that's just burgeoning over the last 10 or 15 years about brain science and neuroscience and understanding, you know, how we were designed, how God created us to think and for our mind to work. We have a lot of great science out there now that helps us understand some of those principles, especially with SPECT scans and brain scans that you alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people ask me, well, you know, Carl, are you saying then that science has more answers for us than the Bible? I said, no, the Bible has all the answers that we need. But for me, in my growing up, and for 90% of the people I work with, some of those principles of take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, put on the armor of God, strip off the old man, clothe yourself with the new, they're just too big for me to understand and to apply in a practical way. I think what science does is allows us to break down those principles into smaller pieces, you know, sort of squeezing the juice out of the Bible that's there for the, you know, for the everyday person to really be able to apply Monday through Saturday instead of being all jacked up on Sunday, but then not quite sure what to do Monday through Saturday and end up being sort of the same person, feeling guilty again on Sunday, getting that pep talk, but still falling short.
So psychology, psychiatry kind of breaks things down into mechanical bites, so to speak, whereas, you know, the Bible is say, hey, listen, I'm God, take this by faith. You know, maybe the difference between an auto mechanic understanding the inner workings of an automobile and the person who just gets in, turns the key, and goes.
Exactly. I mean, God, you know, with the Bible, tells a huge, awesome story. Mm-hmm. But it's also the best decision-making book that there is.
Right.
Unfortunately, we don't look at it as that, and it's not organized that way. But that's what transformed my life, was once I realized, wow, this is the instruction book for living life. Now, how do I, you know, incorporate, for me, I needed to, the science helped me really understand those principles in a powerful way. And where psychology falls short is, you know, in this decision-making process, one of the key areas is our lenses. You know, I end up, our transformational thought in Stepping Stones Devotional, it's your decision, so choose well. Everything
right.
in life comes down to decisions. But where psychology falls short is, well, what are the lenses? What are accurate lenses that really see the truth? Because if we don't see things clearly, it's hard to make a good decision. And so psychology, with its relativism, and our postmodern, you know, society that we're in, doesn't really look at, well, what is absolutely clear lenses, and then what's a healthy response in that decision. And that's where we need to really incorporate those biblical truths and principles, because that's what gives us, this is a godly perspective of this situation, and this is a healthy, godly response for this particular situation.
So there's a lot of presuppositions. I mean, the Christian presupposes that God exists, has the answers. The secular humanist would presuppose that God doesn't exist and it's up to man to have these answers. And so we have different starting points as to which truth is true. That's what I'm getting by that.
Oh, yeah. And I think we're in an exciting age right now, because what we're finding is when we teach people biblical truths and principles in forgiveness, in parenting, in marriage skills, in conflict resolution, their SPECT scans actually get better.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first time, we have scientific evidence that as you use biblical skills, your brain scans get better and life improves. Whereas before, like you said, it was just, well, hey, this is what I believe, so you need to believe it too.
Right.
We really couldn't back it up with scientific evidence. Now we're in an incredible age of apologetics, I believe, with our neuroscience and psychological sciences, that we now have actual scientific proof that what the Bible says as far as why we struggle and what corrects it, you know, to be accurate from the Bible.
Yeah, and that's good news for parents who do use Scripture as their starting point for raising their kids. But before we go too far in our conversation, can you tell us a little bit about your helpline and how it can perhaps be a benefit to parents and their kids?
Oh, definitely. We have, Lighthouse Network, lighthousenetwork.org, callers, listeners can go to. And we have a helpline because, you know, like you say, and at Shepherd's Hill, you probably have run into many times where people had searched for a number of months, even years, of looking for where is a place that we can go that gets good psychological care, but good Christian biblical care at the same time. And it's really hard to find, even though we're in this information age and people can jump on the internet and Google whatever, it's really hard to find those kind of programs.
Sure.
And what our helpline does is helps bring hope, prayer, insight, empathy. But then we understand the system, so we try to connect that person in need with what is going to be the best services for them or their loved one, you know, as they're looking for good, sound medical, clinical, biblical answers to the situations they struggle with. Most of what we do is addiction-oriented, but a lot of behavioral health and mental health issues as well, and we try to connect those people to whether it's a church, whether it's a support group, whether it's a residential program or anything in between.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, Dr. Kroll. I've had this argument with a number of people who have said, in essence, I would rather have a very good surgeon, for example, who's not Christian than have a lousy Christian surgeon. So you've got the, you know, wouldn't it be better to have just a great surgeon regardless of his faith or background rather than a lousy Christian? Well, I think we'd all agree that nobody would want a lousy surgeon, but is this part of what you're able to overcome?
Well, I think in other medical specialties, you know, that those biblical principles aren't as necessary. Now, they certainly are helpful in managing stress and post-op conditions in a surgery situation or post-stroke situation or managing blood pressure with stress management skills that are biblical. But in my field of psychology and psychiatry, these biblical principles are so powerful and so important. You know, we started off the show talking about just the controversy about medications. You know, are they psychoheresy? Are they evil? Are we under the influence of Prozac instead of the Holy Spirit? Or do they cure everything? And I think you guys have a great approach that, you know, they aren't the cure-all. In fact, I, as a psychiatrist, I've never seen meds cure anything psychiatrically. But they do help with symptoms.
Sure.
And oftentimes it's beneficial to get some symptom relief so the child or the adult can start to incorporate those biblical principles. Because what we found out with our science now is that when people make good decisions, their brain chemistry gets better. You know, I call it the exercise for the brain, godly decision making, and the Bible calls it renews the mind. That's the process that God gave us for a long-term cure in developing the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it doesn't work immediately overnight. When a person becomes saved, they don't get a brain transplant, they don't get a lobotomy. You know, so there's some damage that sometimes medications is beneficial. I agree we often overprescribe sometimes or prescribe at higher doses, but I think in the psychological field to have those biblical principles, you know, as part of that therapy package, you know, is so important. Now, do we want a person who's crappy with medications and doesn't understand how to incorporate those biblical principles in a good, healthy therapy process? Well, that's not going to work well either.
Mm-hmm.
But that ideal person has good clinical skills, but it's rooted and grounded in that biblical worldview and being able to take those great instructions and principles that the Bible is so rich with and incorporate them into that therapy process for a person to, you know, transform their mind, really renew their mind.
When we are working to renew our mind, in a sense, then we're really renewing our brain too, right?
Whenever we make a good decision, you know, it acts on all three spheres. Spiritually, we reconnect with God and open up that direct relationship with Him. We put the Holy Spirit back on the throne of our heart to give us discernment and give us power over temptation. Psychologically, we're moving on the spectrum of more mature behavior and functioning instead of immature whenever we have poor decisions. And physiologically, there's an actual circuitry renewing that occurs. So I often, whenever I speak to a lot of middle school and high school students, you know, I'll have two people come up, and one usually a slender female, another a buff, muscular guy. And I'll have them do a push, you know, I'll have the crowd look at them to, you know, take in what their physical appearance is. Then I'll have them get down and do a push-up, and then get back up, and they make their observation again. And there's no change in their physical body. But microscopically, a lot of stuff happened in their muscles of their arms, shoulders, upper back, pecs, and those kind of things. But we don't see it.
Right.
And so a lot of times people don't realize that whenever you make a decision, good or bad, there's immediate results, either benefits or consequences of good decisions on all three of those spheres.
So we're basically a sum total of all the things that have gone into us, food, sight, sounds, attitudes, things like that. And these are actually making chemical changes in our system. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, definitely.
So when we practice something like the piano or good behavior or good attitudes, you know, we're jump-starting ourselves toward healing.
As long as we use, you know, whenever we make positive steps, do the right thing, make good decisions, that circuitry in the brain for those pathways is renewed. It's fertilized. It's improved.
Yes.
Unfortunately, whenever we don't use those, it starts to atrophy or gets pruned away.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we can get on these cycles almost like a path in the woods. You know, if you start using a new path, well, you know, it takes a little while to make that path a good path, but the more you use it, the better it becomes, and the old path starts to, you know, wear away, and, you know, it starts to fill in. And so the same thing with being able to take aberrant behaviors and make good. It's that discipline, it's that structure, it's that intentionality. You know, so many people, their decision-making is pretty random process for them every day.
And that's what makes discipline so important, is because you're basically jump-starting a person in the right direction, and it makes it easier for them to do the right thing the next time. Would I be right in saying
that? Exactly, exactly. It lowers those barriers to doing the right thing. And to be able to explain to them, hey, look, making your bed, this is what it does for you spiritually, psychologically, and physiologically on your brain. A lot of parents say, well, make your bed. And the kid says, why? Well, because it's messy. Well, why do I need to make it? I'm just going to mess it up tonight. Well, you know, and ends up saying, well, because I said so, that's why you got to do it. Well, no, there's a lot of good reasons why, psychologically, spiritually, and physiologically for their brain, for them to make their bed. But his parents oftentimes were not that good at explaining, you know, that process for them. So they can, oh, yeah, okay, well, that's a good reason. Now, they might not grab onto it the first time, but as you relate it later on, 3 days later, say, well, you know, you were able to resist that cookie because you made your bed 3 days ago.
Right.
To be able to tie cause and effect in, that's a powerful thing for kids to see.
No
this
doubt.
Is great. I'm taking notes right now. Because I've got some non-bed-making cookie eaters at home that I need to take this to. Dr. Carl, we need to take a brief break here on behalf of our stations. We're talking with Dr. Carl Benzio, the founder and executive director of the Lighthouse Network and the Lighthouse Addiction and Counseling Helpline. And we're talking about, among other things, a scientific proof of what has been taught in Scripture all along as being absolutely valuable and healing to the conditions of the brain and the heart, the things that we deal with here at Shepherd's Hill Academy all the time. You're listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Roslin. We'll be back right after this. Hi, I'm Rich Rosl, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at LicensedToParent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to LicensedToParent.org and click Donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent from Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia. Our host is Trace Embry. I'm Rich Roslin, and our special guest today is Dr. Carl Benzio. He's the founder and director of the Lighthouse Network, and he's joining us by phone now. And Dr. Benzio, so glad to have you with us today. Trace, we are delving into stuff that is way above my pay grade here.
Well, mine too. But Dr. Carl, I see so many Christian parents relying on secular doctors, secular therapists, any variety of medications to tame their out-of-control kids. So am I crazy for thinking that we really can't divorce the empirical or the physical realm from the soul and the spirit of an individual, and that parents really ought to be parenting to the spiritual needs of their kids, and then when needed, seeking Christ-centered and biblically-based therapeutic measures, looking for help for their kids, before jumping the gun and choosing the first secular therapist they come across?
No, that's a great question, and it manifests in so many ways in our society, but if we look at the Trinity, the Trinity is, they're so intertwined, integrated, it's impossible for them to be separated. But we do separate them in order to study them, to understand them, but then they need to be brought back together again. And, us being created, spirit, mind, and body, those are three spheres. We sort of separate them so that we can understand them better, but we haven't done such a great job of integrating them back together to look at what is that healing process that we need to engage in. And because that spiritual realm is a little bit more, you know, fuzzy, it's not as tangible and reproducible as we would like to have, it makes it difficult for a lot of people unless you know, really have that relationship with God and are working on that relationship and growing it and growing that spiritual radar, that antenna for, you know, God's frequency, for those spiritual things. You know, Satan is out there to dull it, mm-hmm. and he wants to shoot so much clutter into the airwaves so that we don't really raise our antenna for spiritual things. Our radar and antenna for physical, for material, becomes raised, and that's what we end up focusing on, unfortunately, a lot, is that material aspect. I think the other part of it is that, you know, that fleshly nature, that we want it all to be about me, mm-hmm. and that sort of pushes that need for material and pushes the spiritual realm, you know, out. I think over the last, you know, 10 years or 15 years, we've seen this need for purpose, for value, for meaning. So we're starting to look spiritual, but it's sort of that small s spiritual, not the big divine, you know, biblically inspired and discussed, you know, spiritual of connecting with God and that divine power. And when we leave that out, we're not going to understand and we're not going to heal as much as we need.
Mm-hmm. Well, at Shepherd's Hill Academy and at Licensed to Parent here, we believe that man is not fundamentally a human being who occasionally has spiritual experiences, but rather a spiritual being having a human experience. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. And I think that's, you know, in the garden, that's the way it started, and it's got flipped inside out.
Right. So do you consider seeking therapeutic approaches without regard for God's word to be, you know, pursuing healing with one hand behind your back?
You know, I think good psychology, good science, you know, comes from the Bible, and if a person's practicing good psychology, they're going to be using some biblical principles, whether they know it or not.
That's right.
You know, but leaving that ability to pray and to bring the Holy Spirit into the midst of that and seeking discernment from the Holy Spirit and having your therapist, you know, have that at their, you know, it's the big tool in their tool belt kind of thing. Boy, it's you know, like you said, it's like tying one hand behind the back or just missing part of the, you know, the whole toolkit that you need.
Sure. One of the first places parents go for counsel, you know, for their children is usually their pastor. When is this a good thing to do, and when is it really a bad idea?
Yeah, you know, pastors, you know, certainly understand biblical truths and principles. Unfortunately, sometimes pastors aren't, you know, as steeped in, well, what are the application? Like if I go to a lot of churches and, you know, I hear some great rousing sermons and pep talks, but then, well, what's the strategy? You know, you mm-hmm. can go out and give a pep talk to, you know, a team, but if you don't tell them how to play offense, how to play defense,
right.
and here's the skills that you need to be equipped with, you're still going to get slaughtered. And so the application step at the end of the sermon is so important. And some pastors do have that application. Other pastors, you hear radio pastors all over, I'm not quite sure what is their success rate.
Yeah.
So being able to see,
yeah.
well, is my pastor equipped? Unfortunately, they don't get very many courses in human development or psychology. They get maybe one course in their seminary. So that's where a lot of shortcoming falls in the process
sure.
of trying to figure out, well, you know, how do I, we often leave it to the parent or to the affected adult to figure out, well, how do I bring this quarterbacking, you know, how do I quarterback this treatment system of the spiritual knowledge, the psychological knowledge, the medical knowledge, and, you know, ideally they're able to go to one person to get all three of those as opposed to trying to parse it from three different places and then integrate it together whenever they're sort of in a compromised state.
So there are a lot of Christians who would claim that Scripture has the answer to everything and therefore we have no need of a therapist. What do you say to a guy like that? Maybe he's a pastor, but what do you say to him?
Yeah, well, you know, I know that you know, I was your straight-A kid, your Sunday school, you know, star, had all the memory verses, everything was going fine, but I struggled a lot and developed an addiction, lost a lot in my life, ended up in jail in the middle of medical school. So to be in jail and for God to say, hey, look, if you made me the Lord of your life instead of just your Savior, incredible things are going to happen in your life, Carl. And it wasn't until that point that my life turned around. And so it's being able to really, well, you know, how do we apply that? And for me, it's been science. For other people, it might be something else. But, you know, as I show people how their mind works and how they make decisions and where then those biblical truths and principles integrate into that and help them understand that mm-hmm. so it sort of slows the process down for them so they can understand it, command it, excel it. It's sort of like that athlete that whenever the game slows down for them, wow, they're able to be so proficient and be a star.
Yeah.
You know, Satan gets the merry-go-round of life going so fast that, you know, our mind is just swirling and we don't know what to do or how to slow it down or how to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Well, for the parent that's on the fence between, you know, do I pursue this mechanically or professionally, or do I, you know, look at Scripture? Have you ever discovered a truth studying, you know, Hume, Jung, Freud, Adler, Kohlberg, that you first didn't find in Scripture?
No, I mean, the scripture does relay all. I mean, it's the best psychiatric textbook that was ever written. It's the most full, inclusive text guide that there is. And
so
I agree with you totally.
What should that tell parents listening to this broadcast then?
They need to go to the Word. Yeah. They need to go to the Word clearly and frequently so it starts to wash over them. They need to start to practice those principles regularly so they can both heal their own mind as well as be a role model.
Sure.
But being able to figure out, well, how do I practice? I mean, just to go watch, you know, a video or go to a lecture on chemistry doesn't make me a chemist. I got to go to the lab and now practice.
Right.
Watching a video on baseball doesn't make me a baseball player. I got to go out on the field and practice it regularly with a coach. So for those parents to, you know, okay, well, you know, let me understand the Bible. Let me take in the Bible, but then let me get some coaching to help me understand, well, how do I apply it regularly and be open and honest and humble with what's going on inside me so I can relay that to my coach so they can help me even more.
So what do you say to the busy parents who have trouble, you know, finding time to read Scripture? What do you say to them? Because we're winding down in time here, maybe about 30 seconds. Encourage a parent with the 30 seconds we have left as to what they can do to make time to get in the Word, using it as a platform to raise their kids.
Yeah, go to lighthousenetwork.org, sign up for Stepping Stone Daily Devotional. A lot of very practical tips of how to incorporate the Bible into everyday living. You know, you're doing something now that you're investing your time in that's not helping. There's somewhere in your life every day you're investing time that's not helping. Change and say, hey, I don't want to invest it there. I want to invest it in the Word, how to practically apply the Word. Stepping Stones, that's why I write it. That's why I designed it for the busy person, takes about 3 minutes to read, to have practical impact in their daily life functioning.
And I can tell you from someone who reads it, folks, it's right on target. It's beneficial. Whether you're, you know, biblically illiterate or a scholar, it works. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Dr. Carl Benzio is the founder and executive director of the Lighthouse Network, and he has been our guest today discussing, well, many things well above my pay grade today, Trace, and that is, in essence, the tie-in to what we've seen over the years in psychiatry and psychology and how all of it still stems from the biblical truth that we've had since the beginning of time.
Exactly.
And putting these together, parents, if you can recognize the strength and validity of Scripture as the ultimate guide in perhaps nurturing and equipping your children to get through some of the struggles in life rather than simply turning to what psychiatry or psychology might say, that will send you well on your way to having a full healing going on there. Dr. Carl, thank you so much for your time with us today.
Hey, thank you, guys, and keep up the great ministry.
Well, thank you, brother.
We appreciate it very much. You can learn more about Dr. Benzio and the help that he offers when you visit lighthousenetwork.org. You'll find the helpline phone number and the Stepping Stones devotional there as well. Again, that's lighthousenetwork.org. You've been listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a residential care facility for troubled teens located in Martin, Georgia. Learn more about us, read our blog, hear archives of past programs, in fact, even connect with us on Facebook and Twitter when you visit licensedtoparent.org. And while you're there, would you please consider supporting us financially? Shepherd's Hill and Licensed to Parent depend on great partners just like you to keep the ministry going. So please pray about how you can help and then visit us at licensedtoparent.org and click the donate button. And thank you in advance. I'm Rich Rossell and our host is Trace Embry. Thank you for joining us today and we invite you to join us back here again next week to renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.